Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the co-author of Heavy Lifting. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives, all of which have to do with Tuesday night's fifth Republican presidential debate, which was hosted by CNN. It was a national security-focused debate, and Jim, the good martini out of the gate is that it was a very good substantive debate. The last CNN debate held at the Reagan Library got to some good things, but it was a lot of snarkiness. There was a lot of attempting to start fights with candidates, and this time, given perhaps the seriousness of the topic and the terrorist attacks we've seen recently in Paris and San Bernardino and elsewhere, there was a tone of much more gravitas, and the questions, I think, reflected that. So kudos to CNN for doing a much better job this time. We also got some substantive exchanges from a lot of different candidates on a lot of different topics. Here's just one example of that on bulk data collection with Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz.
We are now at a time when we need more tools, not less tools. And that tool we lost, the metadata program, was a valuable tool that we no longer have at our disposal.
What the USA Freedom Act did is it did two things. Number one, it ended the federal government's bulk collection of phone metadata of millions of law-abiding citizens. But number two, and the second half of it that is critical, it strengthened the tools of national security and law enforcement to go after terrorists. It gave us greater tools, and we are seeing those tools work right now in San Bernardino.
And so, Jim, that was a good exchange. There were good exchanges on immigration and a lot of different issues related to issues that are very much in the news right now. So kudos to CNN and kudos to the candidates for a good, solid debate that hopefully painted a very good contrast with the way that the current administration and Hillary Clinton would address these challenges.
Yeah, this was one of the few debates where I don't think there was any like, oh, why did they ask that question? Isn't that silly? Or isn't that ridiculous? No Coke or Pepsi or things like that. You could argue that CNN was trying to build up to a conflict between Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. Whenever one got a point, they were pretty quick to go to the other one to see if they could get them to respond. But by and large, look, this is a different race after Paris and San Bernardino, and the country deserved a better and more serious debate. And I think one of the things that jumped out at me, whichever candidate you prefer, Greg, the entire broad theme of the night was, look, we have tried the Obama approach on the war on terror. We have tried his way of handling ISIS. We have tried his way of handling border security. We have tried his way of screening for potential terrorists, and it has failed. We cannot continue this way. There is no guarantee that any Democrat president is going to make significant changes to these systems. They are too enraptured by political correctness to really make the changes. They're too bound to their self-identity that they're the tolerant ones and that Republicans are driven by fear and xenophobia. Republicans have a fantastic case to be made, I think a needed case to be made. And just about everybody on that stage looked like they were completely capable of doing it. We'll get to some of the stuff we didn't like in a little bit, but by and large, it was a good, substantive debate. And even when it got into the weeds or the details, I actually thought that was very useful. Maybe that's a good segue to our second martini.
Yeah, absolutely. On a lot of these different exchanges, there was a lot of substance. And it's important, especially when you still have nine people on stage, that yes, just about all of them, if not all of them, have a much better approach to solving these problems or at least addressing them than Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. But there are important differences, and a choice needs to be made here in the coming months. And understanding the differences between these candidates is important. So Marco Rubio talked about why he thought Ted Cruz was wrong to go against bulk data collection. Ted Cruz fired back. Rand Paul jumped in largely on Ted Cruz's side. Chris Christie largely on Marco Rubio's side. And then a number of other issues had happened as well. Weirdly, Chris Christie also tried to jump in as kind of the "can you believe these guys" approach, I think is how you put it on Twitter last night, when Cruz and Rubio were going back and forth on bulk data collection. Christie tried to act like they were talking in the weeds and nobody really cared. Here's how that sounded.
I want to talk to the audience at home for a second. If your eyes are glazing over like mine, this is what it's like to be on the floor of the United States Senate. I mean, endless debates about how many angels on the head of a pin from people who've never had to make a consequential decision in an executive position. The fact is, for 7 years, I had to make these decisions after 9/11. Make a decision about how to proceed forward with an investigation or how to pull back, whether to use certain actionable intelligence or whether not to. And yet they continue to debate about this bill and the subcommittee and what. Nobody in America cares about that. What they care about is, are we going to have a president who actually knows what they're doing to make these decisions?
Jim, for 14 years, we've been having a pretty stern debate, sometimes more intense than others, about how to balance liberty and security. I don't think that's a debate that a lot of conservatives think is a waste of time.
Blah, 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 nerds. Nobody cares about this bill or that bill, or should the NSA be allowed to collect your metadata or not. Actually, Governor Christie, no, a lot of people do. Maybe you don't care. There have been times where a candidate can kind of get too into the congressional jargon or too much into the details. You mentioned the exchange between Rubio and Cruz last night. I really felt like at one point it seemed like Rubio's like, I've got really good evidence to prove my argument, except it's all classified. You know, I could tell you why I'm right, but then I'd have to kill you, which was a little bit of a frustrating aspect of this, because ultimately we outside these systems, which are necessarily secret because we don't want the bad guys knowing exactly how we collect the data. We don't know whether it really could it have stopped a guy like San Bernardino or not. I was kind of frustrated at one point during that debate last night where I remember thinking, like, did the NSA have a better shot at stopping these people, or maybe the person who was manning the Visa counter that day and looking over her stuff and things like that. But yeah, so Christie's done this a couple of times. And if it really does get into something obscure and detailed, you know, you can play that card a little bit. He's gone to that well one time too often. And they were actually having a good debate. And it wasn't the eyes glazing over Christie. Maybe you need some Visine. it was frustrating because basically his gist is, and it's a very Trump-esque, look, I'm not going to get wrapped up in all these big fancy words that we haven't heard before. I'm a man of action. And I think Christie's capable of running a better campaign than that. I think he actually does know this stuff. And he's kind of giving a dumbed down argument for low attention span, low information voters. And I really think, look, we should be trying to elevate the discourse. We'd be trying to, like people used to say when they used to feel a little bit inadequate when they used to read William F. Buckley. You know, if you don't know these terms, maybe you should get to know them. Maybe this stuff is worth knowing about. And it just kind of seemed it was a frustrating note on an otherwise good note for Chris Christie.
Yeah, he did make some very good arguments on other issues. But let's turn to the crazy martini now. And we welcome Donald Trump to the stage. A lot of people thought this was probably one of his stronger debates. But there were a couple of moments, Jim, that just had a lot of people shaking his head, particularly if you're interested in what we're just talking about, knowing the details of different policies and why that's important going forward and how you prosecute the war on terrorism, as well as other aspects of the presidency. Hugh Hewitt of Salem Radio once again was one of the panelists for CNN, and he brought up the issue of our nuclear arsenal and bringing it up to speed. A couple of different clips here with Donald Trump.
B-52s are older than I am. The missiles are old. The submarines are aging out. It's an executive order. It's a commander-in-chief decision. What's your priority among our nuclear triad?
Well, first of all, I think we need somebody absolutely that we can trust, who's totally responsible, who really knows what he or she is doing, that is so powerful and so important.
Then Trump went on to talk about how he opposed the 2003 Iraq War, something about Syria and hand-to-hand combat, and then he came back to this, which was followed by a Hugh Hewitt follow-up and a pretty big head-scratcher here.
The biggest problem this world has today is not President Obama with global warming, which is inconceivable. This is what he's saying. The biggest problem we have today is nuclear proliferation, and having some maniac, having some madman go out and get a nuclear weapon. That's, in my opinion, that is the single biggest problem that our country faces.
Of the
right
three
now.
Legs of the triad, though, do you have a priority? Because I want to go to Senator Rubio
I think
him.
To me, nuclear is just the power, the devastation is very important to me.
Very important, Jim. Then he was asked about comments he made just 2 days earlier about Ted Cruz being a maniac, and here's how that went with Dana Bash.
Mr. Trump, just this weekend you said Senator Cruz is not qualified to be president because he doesn't have the right temperament and acted like a maniac when he arrived in the Senate. But last month you said you were open to naming Senator Cruz as your running mate.
I did.
So why would you be willing to put somebody who's a maniac one heartbeat away from the presidency?
But I've gotten to know him over the last 3 or 4 days. He has a wonderful temperament. He's just fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
So, Jim, what do you make of those two exchanges?
Where to begin? First thought is Dana Bash gives, I think, just the perfect response. Okay. a little bit of disbelief and incredulity. Hey, everything I told you yesterday about Cruz being a maniac, I was BSing you. He's fine. Ignore everything I say. I don't know what I'm talking about. All that kind of stuff. And speaking of not knowing what he's talking about, Greg, if you ever form a trio heavy metal band. I think Nuclear Triad would be a fantastic name for it. And what's really fast, you know, you play back the answer, the question from Hugh Hewitt. He really kind of gives the answer, you know, the option. You know, when it comes to our submarines being old, when it comes to our nuclear missiles being old, when it comes to our planes being old, right. Mr. Trump, which part of the nuclear triad, tri, meaning the prefix from Latin, meaning three. Think of a triangle, Mr. Trump. Which of these three would you start with? And of course, got to tell you, nuclear devastation is really important to me. I want to have a classy devastation, a huge explosion. Yeah. So here's the thing. If you know, earlier we haven't mentioned Ben Carson in this discussion. Not a great night for Ben Carson, but I will give the man credit. This is a guy who did his homework and unbidden brought up the Ohio-class submarines. You only bring that up if it's Hugh Hewitt is moderating because Hugh Hewitt is obsessed with Ohio-class submarines. I think it's because he's from Ohio. But for whatever reason, you know, Ben Carson, for all of his – he did the reading. He did the homework. At some point, there was some discussion where like Carly Farina is like, can I jump in here? And then she writes these long, detailed answers, meaning that she did the homework. Donald Trump didn't do his homework. He wasn't going to be bothered with that kind of stuff. So rather frustrating on that part. Now, for all my criticism of Trump, since people think I'm this, you know, unhinged maniac. Well, you know, you can call me a maniac. It's good to know a couple days later to say it's not true. That Trump actually had a really good opening. That it actually wasn't bombastic, look at me, Trump. It was actually serious Trump. And it was actually it fit the moment. It was a much better Trump. And it was a much more it just seemed responsible. Unfortunately, you know, the mask slipped and he couldn't keep it going for more than maybe a half hour or so.
Teacher's pet status might go half to Ben Carson, but the other half has to go to Rubio, who then not only explained what the nuclear triad was, but then again put Ohio-class submarines as his
there you go.
As
yes.
his priority.
I mean, ultimately, every CNN debate, you should just – the over-under on Ohio-class submarine references should be like a 4 or 5, you think?
Yes, but I think the most horrifying moment had to be at about an hour and 45 minutes in going to break when Wolf Blitzer said, we'll be right back. We're just getting started.
Yes, yes. I mean, if you're going to – you know. So our last rant of this is like the bonus martini. Greg, like if I said, you know, that Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee, Lindsey Graham, and George Pataki have all been struck by laryngitis and they can't do the undercard debate next time, how heartbroken will you be?
Not very. I didn't watch it. Anything happen?
There you go. Like, I mean, these guys are collectively at 2.3%. Lindsey Graham is at 2% in his home state. I hate to break it to these guys. I don't think it's going to happen for him. And, you know, like, oh, Huckabee won Iowa. Santorum won. Yes. And they're like at low single digits in Iowa right now. I hate to, you know, I don't like being the bearer of bad news, but it's just not going to happen, guys. So I don't think we need the undercard debates anymore. I think having – or the other thing is that having 9 people on the debate stage means, you know, people are constantly trying to elbow their way into the conversation. That was one of the few flaws with the format. And ending it at 11 is just kind of brutal for all of us who have to get up and write a morning newsletter the next day.
So
think of me next time, debate schedulers.
Roger Ailes, I think you're up next. Or maybe it's CNN again. I don't know.
It's Fox Business again.
Okay. Well, they did a good job last time, so we'll see how it goes the next time. This is the last one for calendar year 2015. Jim, you and I will reconvene tomorrow. Talk to you then.
See you then.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.